Welcome to the Marrow of the Message, a ministry of Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship, Church of Columbus, Indiana. This message is a shortened version of the message preached on July 22nd, 2012, entitled The Sovereign Promise Plan of God. And I take that promise plan phrase from Walter Kaiser, and I saw it first in his book, The Christian in the Old Testament. And Kaiser develops this whole idea that rather than saying prophetic fulfillments, wherein we expect prophecy to be given regarding Christ and then its fulfillment in his first coming or whatever it would be, we look at the scriptures from a Christocentric perspective, seeing God's promise plan unfold. In other words, God has promised Messiah, and then through history, through events, through people, through prophecies, and through the natural order of things, it would appear the providence of God unfolds his promise into a plan that, as we know, looking back in time, reveals Christ, the incarnate Son of God, born in Bethlehem. But we want to look at what this promise plan means to us. What is the purpose of this promise plan? How can we be strengthened in our faith, and what is the importance of it? And we do that first this week by looking at the fact that the scriptures have to be read from a Christocentric perspective. And where do we get this from? In Luke chapter 24, I'll just look at a few verses. Remember, this is on the road to Emmaus. Jesus is walking with disciples. They don't realize it's him. It's 3 days later. Jesus is risen from the dead. And these men that he's walking with are appalled at Jesus' question about what things have taken place. And the men tell him, the one that we hoped was the Redeemer of Israel was crucified, buried, and now the women have told us, along with his other disciples, that the tomb is empty. And so these men are leaving Jerusalem, headed toward Emmaus, very, very discouraged. And Jesus looked at them and said, verse 25 of Luke 24, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." He wasn't calling them fools, but he was calling them knuckleheads, if you will. They were not listening. They had not listened to him. They had not listened. More importantly, Jesus is saying, you didn't listen to the prophets. You didn't listen to what Moses said. And we get this from verse 27, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." I would think that we, being New Testament Christians, would read the scriptures, primarily the New Testament, and we would see Jesus saying something like this to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He would say, "Didn't I tell you? Did I not tell you that I would have to die and then rise on the third day?" Because certainly Jesus did tell them. Jesus had told them very clearly, you can see this especially throughout the Gospel of Matthew, that he was going to Jerusalem, he was going to be betrayed, he was going to be tried and punished, sentenced, I should say, by the religious leaders. He would be crucified, killed, buried, and on the third day rise from the dead. This is what we would expect to occur in the New Testament as New Testament Christians, and we would then say, well, because of that, there's no need for the Old Testament. But Jesus surprises us, I believe, here in Luke, on this road to Emmaus, where he tells these men, who had followed him, no doubt, that they were slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken concerning the Christ. And so Jesus puts highest priority upon the scriptures to prove that he is the Christ, and to prove even his resurrection from the dead, which was the greatest good news these men would ever receive. And can you imagine that message? And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scripture concerning himself. Wouldn't you love to hear that message? The point is, though, for today, for this message, is that God has made promises, and He works out His promise. He brings His promises to pass by accomplishing His plan. And His plan, we could say, is eternal. It is founded in eternity, before the foundation of the world. God had decreed and in foreknowledge had determined all that would take place. And in particular, this promised plan regarding the coming Messiah who would save God's people from their sins. This is so important. If we believe, and we do at Sovereign Christ, believe that God in His sovereignty elected some, a people for Himself, for salvation before the foundation of the world. And so this promised plan is the unfolding of His eternal plan to save a particular people for Himself. Now, this should encourage us, because as we look down through the pages of Scripture and we see history unfold, we begin to see God's promised plan taking shape throughout the unfolding of the history revealed in Scripture. This should give us great comfort to know that what God promised, He will accomplish. His plan will unfold. His plan will come to pass according to His promises. And His promises are dependent upon His character, His nature, His power, His control, in order that He would accomplish that which He has designed in His heart and mind to do. So when we read the Scriptures, we see promises. This should give us comfort as we live in a day and age where truly, as in 2 Peter, people are saying, where is this second coming? And we look forward to the plan of God unfolding in the culmination of all history as we know it, when Jesus comes and brings all things under His dominion and control at His second coming. So, the fact is, we can read our Scriptures and gain trust and strength and hope and have our faith increase as we read them, knowing God's promised plan will unfold. So, let's begin very shortly for just a short summary of the message on Sunday. How should we read the Old Testament? We should read the Old Testament from a Christocentric, a Christ-centered perspective. This is what binds both the Old Testament and New Testament together. We should see the Scriptures as an unfolding of this promised plan of God. That doesn't mean we don't stand firmly on the biblical doctrine of a new covenant that's found in the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we read the Old Testament, we need to read it from a Christocentric point of view. And this one theme is what unites all of Scripture. Now, there are many subjects, there's many teachings, there's many threads, and we could even say there's other themes, but primarily, there's one thread, and that is the thread of God's promised plan wherein His Messiah would save His people, elect before the foundation of the world in time and space. And we are benefactors of this promised plan as we see it unfold. A good biblical theology is what we're talking about. Developing a good biblical theology means that we will be able to read the Scripture and pull out of it that which is the most important and the most helpful. And so a good biblical theology centers on Christ. Everything in all creation, everything that God has ever done, I believe, is intended to cause us to behold the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, certainly, Old Testament saints would not have been saying, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus, the Son of God. Because at this time, they wouldn't have known His name to be Jesus. It wasn't until the angel appeared to Joseph and commanded Joseph, you shall name Him Jesus. In other words, another promise plan is unfolding this promised plan, even in the name of giving of the name of Jesus, would explain something of his work, as did the word of the prophets in the Old Testament. And so as this promised plan unfolds, we see Christ in the center. We come to see the glory of God, wherein everything he has planned for us, his people, comes to pass according to the will of God. Jesus left no doubt that he is the center focus. We've read the passages there in Luke chapter 24, where Jesus opened up their minds. Later in Luke chapter 24, when all of the disciples were with him, in verse 45 he says, "Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he said to them," in verse 46, "this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem," and so on. So he tells them, it's written, these things are written. Have you ever searched out your Bible, your Old Testament, to try to find Christ in the Old Testament? Well, I would encourage you to listen next week on the marrow of the message, and we're going to begin our look. I believe we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and follow out Christ in the Old Testament, and see how Christ truly begins to emerge from the pages of the Old Testament. But in John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus looked at the religious leaders when they were doubting and when they were harassing him and insulting him. He said to them, "These are the scriptures that testify about me." So the scriptures are sufficient to bring light to those who would believe that God's Messiah would come. And truly, in the Old Testament, prior to the cross of Jesus Christ, prior to his redemptive work on the cross, the Old Testament saints are those who are saved by grace through faith in God's Messiah. In other words, the Old Testament saints are those like Abraham who looked forward to a coming Messiah, one who would save them. And this is absolutely essential to understand it. Things didn't change in the old. Things were not different in the Old Testament, where God gave laws and they had to be obedient to these laws in order to be saved. James clarifies that. He says, if you stumble on just one point of the law, you're guilty of breaking all of it. And James goes on to say, no man can control him. No man is without sin. So we have in the Old Testament the problem being over the matter of salvation, or the matter of being one of God's elect, is through faith as they look forward to the coming Messiah. And they would see Messiah coming off of the pages of Scripture. Now I want to move fast forward to 1 Peter to understand something that I think is profound when we think about the Old Testament prophets. How much did they really know that they were prophesying, that they were speaking forth the promises of God that would unfold in time and space in history according to the providence of God? How much did they really know? Let's see what Peter has to say. Remember, Peter's writing the church in Asia Minor, a church that was soon to undergo persecution of some sort. He tells them of this great salvation of God. Now, verse 10, though, chapter 1, he begins to say something profound for us in relation to our study today. "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you." Have you ever thought of the prophets as being those who spoke of the grace that was to come to you? Read your Old Testament, and you can see that even as the prophets were speaking a message of lament, of mourning, and woe, that they always gave promises that those who would believe through faith would be saved, believing that God had a Messiah to come. Reading on in verse 10, that the grace that was to come to you, searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Peter makes it clear. These prophets, speaking according to the Spirit of Christ, they knew Messiah was coming. This is something they knew. Messiah would come. What they didn't know was the exact time and the circumstances. Doesn't this sound like the church since the cross of Christ, since the ascension, since the Spirit came and the church was founded in Acts chapter 2? Does this not sound as much like that, where we look for the times and the circumstances, though we don't know exactly when he will come, but we expect a Savior from heaven? And so they looked and they looked and they looked, because the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing to a suffering Christ, one who would suffer and one who would be glorified. So the things that they knew Messiah would come. God had a Messiah. The point of all their prophetic utterances was regarding revealing this promise plan of God, that he had a Messiah. This Messiah would suffer first, and then this Messiah would be glorified. And Jesus has made it clear, and Paul did too in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that this Messiah, his suffering would be the suffering of a cross, wherein he would die the sinner's death under the curse of God, and the glories that would follow, Jesus said he would raise from the dead. So the glories that Peter speaks about, that the prophets looked forward to, was a knowledge that this Christ would suffer and this Christ would raise from the dead. And then verse 12, it says, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit. The prophets prophesied, speaking forth the promises of God, fully confident that God would send a Messiah in time. This Messiah would be one who would save the people of God through faith. He was calling them to faith. And I think the message for us today, what is so important, and as we live in times where we question, will we ever see him? Will Jesus truly return? We have to take heart, looking at the promises of God's word, believing by faith that God's plan is unfolding and Jesus is coming again. So let me ask you a few questions. Are you intently looking for Christ in the Scriptures? Are you allowing your faith to be built as you look into the Old Testament, looking for Christ and beholding the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ? And I would encourage you to do so, that your faith would be strengthened and your trust and hope in God would be unshakable. May the Lord bless you and keep you as you consider the content of this message. Grace to you all.